So we'll spend this first hour on the topic of sexual assault. It flared to life anew in the middle of the presidential campaign recently. But the response to the news from the campaign pointed up once again how differently sexual assault can be viewed by people in our country. Our Vince Day segment returns again this week to take your comment on sexual assault and how the reporting of it is handled. We'll start with a personal story from an Ashland High School student who experienced sexual assault and the aftermath of the event and its reporting. She's mobilized other students to recognize and avoid sexual assault through the Got Consent campaign at her school. Bella Head is the name of the person. She's in our studio now. Bella, thanks for joining us.
Of course.
We also have with us Angela Fleischer, who works at Southern Oregon University. We have talked to her before. She's the confidential advisor for students on the campus who explains options to sexual assault survivors and guides them through whichever process they choose. Angela, good to have you here as well.
Thank you, Jeff.
So, Bella, talk us about your situation. You're 16 now. How old are you when this happened?
It happened when I was 15, just last year. It was really hard, and it took a long time to figure out what I wanted to do about it, but I eventually decided to report to the school and to the police, and I essentially started the campaign when I decided that
Okay. But I imagine in a situation like that, there's going to be a lot of stuff that goes around in your head about, wow, what do I do now?
Yeah, it was really hard to decide, but I decided to do the campaign because I didn't want anyone to have to go through what I did and I am going through.
All right, so Angela Fleischer, tell us about how typical it is when someone experiences sexual assault, as Bella did. I mean, what the new usual, where do you go first? Where do you go next after this has happened?
Yeah, I think what Bella just described is really typical. People often don't know what to do. They don't want to know what to do. And for most folks, it takes a period of time for them to even really internalize what has happened to them. I think initially most people, especially young people, talk to friends and family. And depending on that initial reaction, that can really change the way that a reporting experience goes for someone. If they get an adverse reaction from a friend or a family member, that usually causes a lot of self-doubt and maybe makes the reporting a lot more delayed.
Has it gotten easier to tell someone over time? I mean, did it used to be people told no one?
There's still lots of people who tell no one. I like to believe that because the conversation is a more open one in our culture, that more people are coming forward and reporting. I think, you know, even though we look at the ugliness of this presidential campaign, people are talking about it in a way that we probably wouldn't have 20, 30 years ago.
So, Bella, in your particular case, it sounds like the other person involved spoke up before you did. How did that all come to pass?
I think they definitely realized that they did something wrong and felt the need to defend themselves of a story that I wasn't telling. So they told a bunch of people that I was telling people, you know, that he sexually assaulted me, but I hadn't been telling people.
So the denials went out there before you'd said anything?
Yeah.
Wow.
So everyone, and still now, most people only know his story because he told everybody and because his friends are talking about it and still talking about it now. So it's really hard to look at people and see them look at me differently because they don't think either it really happened, because they've only heard that it didn't happen. Or that, it's socially really awkward for me having people look at me differently, either as a victim or a liar.
Given that kids, and I don't mean to demean you as a kid, I mean, but as a teenager, live online. I mean, social media can be such a huge part of the high school experience. And did that factor into what you went through?
It did. There was a person or two that commented online when I made a Facebook post to inform everyone, you know, I was assaulted and people need to realize how important this is and to look at it not as a, just realize the toll it takes and that people don't lie about this. I mean, there are the few, there's a 2% or the 2 to 8% that are falsely accused, but otherwise nobody really lies about this. So I put it out there that it had happened to me, and there was a comment that it was one of his friends, and I was aware of that, and it was, you know, is your lying pathological? And I was hanging out with friends, and it really took a toll. We were about to watch a movie, and I just sat there crying because I had gotten so much positive feedback that it was really odd that someone felt the need to negatively respond. And then I told my friends that they were probably going to be targeted because they were friends with me, and if they didn't want to be targeted, to leave, because I didn't want them to be a part of anything that they didn't want to be a part of. And of course I was right, they were targeted, their social medias were attacked, and they were saying stuff that they knew would get to us, but that we tried to handle it the best that we could.
Bella Head is an Ashland High School student, 16 years old, a junior, telling us about her experience with sexual assault and the reporting of it. Angela Fleischer is a confidential advisor at Southern Oregon University, involved with helping people report sexual assault. So, Angela, let me come back to you, Bella. So in talking to people in an official capacity, who did you go to first, and what were the circumstances?
Officially, I went to Susan.
Susan Moen at the...
Yeah, Susan Moen is a sexual assault advocate at SART, the Sexual Assault Response Team in Jackson County. And she is not a mandatory reporter, so I could say anything to her and know that it was safe and that she wouldn't tell anyone unless I had instructed her to. And then I decided... I went to the school. I actually met Susan through the school. I broke down one day and I told my friends, you know, I can't do this anymore. I can't do this. And a staff member heard us talking and said, you know, do you need to report something? So I went to the school and I decided about 15 minutes later that I would tell them that I needed help. And they brought in Susan, and she's been with me since then. It's been over half a year that we've been communicating. And for me, Susan isn't just my advocate, but a friend that I see that I can always go to. And after I went to the school, I decided to go to the police because it needed to be. I wanted to make sure that I did all I could to make sure that all the other people were safe and that I could ensure them the safety that they needed from that person.
Bella, how much time had elapsed between the assault and when you told people at school?
It had been last December, and it was, I think, in March that I told the school.
So it was a while.
Yeah. I struggled for months and months about who to tell and how to get help.
Had you told your parents at some point in here?
Yeah, they knew the day of it happened in my home. So he left the house, and I immediately broke down crying, and I ran to my room, and it was kind of crying uncontrollably, and I texted my best friend, and she said, you have to tell your parents, and I said, I don't want to, I don't know how I could look at them, and she convinced me to tell them, but I had her tell them for me.
All right. So, Angela Fleischer, I want to bring you in here again, because the time lapse we talk about here with Bella's case is pretty typical, it sounds like. And this is actually what you've built programs like mm-hmm. Campus Choice and the You Have Options program in the City of Ashland Police around, isn't it?
Yes, it is. It's very typical for people to wait a while after an assault happens to make a report. And some of that's what I said before, just internalizing what's actually happened. And the programs we've built are designed to give people the time that they need to process things emotionally, as well as understand fully and clearly what their options are and what those processes will look like.
How open-ended is it? I mean, is there, first of all, is there a statute of limitation on sexual assault still? And how much time does the Campus Choice program or the You Have Options program give to either report or not?
Well, one thing about both programs is they're about collecting information. So yes, in Oregon, there's still a statute of limitations in terms of prosecuting crimes. However, if we are wanting to collect information about what's going on in our community, the names of people who are perpetrating sexual violence are still valuable to us, even if a crime is beyond the statute. And it's variable. You know, there are certain instances where police or campus are going to be bound by law to have action, but in most cases, the process can be extended for quite some time. It could be extended for a year. It could be extended for two. It's really up to what people want.
Bella, did you feel any pressure to report, or was it more just about letting people know what had happened to you?
Yeah, I at first didn't want to report because I wasn't sure about what people would say or how people would react, because I had a few friends that just didn't understand, and I tried getting help from somebody, and they totally rejected it. And let me
move ahead to the decision to go ahead to actually get out ahead of this, to form this program to help guide other people, the Got Consent program. How did that all come about?
At first, I had a few friends, and I had a really good group of friends, and I asked them that if I had made a T-shirt, that if they would show up to school one day and we would all wear it, and it would be about 15 of us, my group of friends and another close group of friends that I have, and a few friends that are not a part of those groups but that I know support me. And they all agreed, and they were all really supportive, and word got around, and more people were asking for these shirts and that they would wear them. And I started a Facebook page one day, and I set up all the information about what I was doing and wanting to raise awareness and how it takes a toll, and that I was going to be selling these T-shirts. And I went out to ice cream and came back four hours later, and there were 500 people, a part of the group that had been added from my school. And
that must have been a surprise.
Yeah, and at the end of a week or two, I had over 135 people that had ordered a shirt, and we later passed them out because we had to pre-order them. We collected the money and the names first, and then we ordered them. And then once they came in, we got a shirt to everyone who paid and asked for one.
I know there's like a gotconsent.com, and it seems like Got Consent programs in a number of places. Were you inspired by those at all?
Well, originally I was just looking for a T-shirt that me and my friends could wear, so I wasn't expecting to make a T-shirt of my own. And I was looking at, you know, anti-sexual assault slogans, and there was one that said Got Consent, and I was like, that's really cool and really simple, and the point gets across really well. And then there were a few other things that I saw that I added to the back of the shirt.
What's on there, on the back?
It says, no means no, being unresponsive means no, looking uncomfortable means no, stuff like that, and then what yes is.
Is that a much shorter list, what yes is?
Yes is, it's basically an integral part of the interaction in which its consent is freely given.
Bella Head, again, a student at Ashland High School who's experienced sexual assault and formed a campaign, the Got Consent campaign. Angela Fleischer, a confidential advisor at Southern Oregon University. So, Angela, it seems like as we examine the way society has reacted to discussing sexual assault lately, there are lots of people who still seem to come from a position, I'm talking about men here, who still come from a position of, well, you know, okay, so, you know, I touched a little, but it wasn't sexual assault. What is the truth on a legal level?
On the legal level, sexual assault is any unwanted touching involving people's private places. So whether it's over the clothes, under the clothes, it is technically sexual assault.
Do you still find people surprised on campus when you let them know about this?
Yeah. Definitely. I mean, just like we can look at our society as a macro example, we have a community here where there's varying information and beliefs about what sexual assault is.
And so, Bella, how big has the God Consent campaign got? You mentioned 135 people with shirts. Have they all worn them together at school on given days?
Yeah, there was a day last year. This is at the end of the school year last year that I decided to do this. And so we had those few days that we were collecting names and money, and then we had a day where we all wore them. And I have a picture of a lot of us that grouped up after school, and it's a really great photo, and it was a really great day. It felt really empowering, and I realized that people care and understand more than I would have thought, and that I thought wearing the shirt wasn't just about awareness, because of course it was about awareness and making a statement. But it was also about showing survivors that hadn't come out or told anybody or have told a few people that they would be supported if people knew.
So what has become of your case? I mean, this is, you did report to the police eventually, right?
There was lots of complications. It came down to the line that there wasn't enough evidence, because you have to have more than enough evidence. It has to be like 99% proven. It's kind of a ridiculous amount of proof that needs to be had. And initially, I was pretty hopeful, but it didn't go the way that I wanted or had expected, and so it was. I met with the district attorney, and they informed me that they didn't have enough, and that if I wanted to, you know, try and get more evidence, that I could, but there wasn't really any more we could do or more evidence we could have, because the guy had already hired lawyers and was being given instructions not to talk to me, and that was originally how we got a lot of it, was from my phone conversations we had had. There was a time where I texted him, you know, saying I had questions or whatever, just because the police was trying to get me, you know, to say these things. And to have him, you know, basically recorded saying that he knew what he did and that he was sorry and that he understood and understands that it was, that there was no consent. So it's over now, I think, but
has there been an effect in the high school? I mean, have you had other people who come to you and said, hey, you know, the same kind of thing happened to me, or, you know, I got in a situation where that could have happened and I stopped it. Have those kinds of things happened since your incident last year?
There have been a few people that have told me about their situations and asked for help and what I think that they should do, or and basically, I would always encourage them to tell somebody, but to only do what they're comfortable with.
Okay. So, Angela Fleischer, what should people who are in Bella's situation do then, either at high school, on college, just in the world outside?
I agree they should do what they're comfortable with. And beyond that, I would encourage anyone to find out who their confidential resources are in their community and seek people like Susan Moen out, or seek someone like myself out, so they can get information and support.
All right. I want to thank you both for joining us today on the Jefferson Exchange. It's taken a lot of courage for you to come forward and do all the things you've done, Bella Head. So thanks for coming here to talk about it in front of our radio audience as well.
Yeah, of course. Thank you for having me.